We read it this morning, but I'd like to read it again. Out of Isaiah 66, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Poor and contrite spirit clearly define what humility creates within a man or a woman who turns to God. And without that, we won't turn to God. So that is a gift. And that whole package of redemptive grace that is given to us when God makes us new in Christ. And then we believe and we repent. And the Lord proves even through that that He has saved us and redeemed us. So much of what we heard today did cause me to tremble. And we're not talking about abject fear. But when you hear these things and they shake you, then that's the trembling. When you hear these things and they prick your conscience, that's a trembling. When you hear these things and a spirit-wrought resolve wells up in your heart, that's a trembling. That's a trembling. It's one thing to hear these words from God and walk off and say, "Well, that was nice at best." And to say, "But I'm not too sure that it's all that." That's arrogant. That's self-dependence. That's self-satisfaction. If you hear God's word and the first thing it makes you do is bow your head, at least in the possession of your heart, and cry out for God's help, His strength, His forgiveness, or whatever it might be at that given time, then that's the result of a trembling at the word of God. Now, in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, verse 7, we find a man trembling. He's the king of Israel. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This is the time when Solomon's dedicating the temple. And they go through all these things. And they pray and they cry out to God. And they offer up the proper sacrifices. They follow the proper ceremony. They are trembling. And they ask God to bless the place and make it a special place of His habitation. That's why God had him build it. Same reason God had Moses to build the tabernacle. A special place for His presence. And isn't it wonderful that when we come together and God builds up His temple again, out of those living stones, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, that one of the reasons we know that we're among the people of God is because God Himself shows up to fill the place with His glory. And Solomon asked God to do certain things. And we read, beginning in verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 7, it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer." Now, this may be the last time Solomon did tremble at the word of God. It was pointed out to me this morning and I never thought about it. But there is something starkly missing in the life and the history of Solomon. And one of the things, or this one thing was probably the reason he went down that forward path that he went down. You don't find any profit in the life of Solomon. You don't find any profit coming alongside of Solomon like Nathan did his father. The kingdom of Solomon is void of a prophetic word. And you look what happened. I mean, if God didn't claim Solomon for his own, you'd think he was a debauched person. And it had long since jumped on that train of reprobation and was so far gone he wouldn't come back. But anyway, when Solomon did seek the Lord was found. In verse 12 again, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And then he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. Now, all these things were what? They were acts of judgment, weren't they? Demonstrations of His wrath against His people. Especially against His people. Will God be wrathful towards His people? I recall a man one time saying to Jesus, that's not going to happen to you. And Jesus responded like this, get behind me, Satan. And that was the man that God used to usher in that new covenant church, marked by the outpouring of His Spirit in ways that had never been known before in the history of man. Pentecost, what a day, huh? But anyway, God says this to Solomon. This is my place. I'll take it and I will use it. But if the people of God, my people, turn from me and I bring discipline and judgment upon them, then know this, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be opened. And mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen, sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. If we do tremble under the word of God, the proper response is to cry out to God and to call upon His name. And if we do fear God, then we will call upon His name. Many thoughts came to my mind this morning in the first hour and in the second. But especially this, with reference to the fear of God. The people of God fear Him. And that builds love and obedience. It builds affection and faith. It builds holiness and repentance. It builds all the virtues that clearly indicate that God has had a soul-saving experience in a man's heart. And I want to tell you, if you don't fear God, then you don't know. How can you know God and not fear Him? He's not your buddy. He's your creator. He's your sustainer. He's your judge. And He's your redeemer. And no matter how intimate we have in relationship to God, He is God and we're not. And He's never going to seek our counsel. And really, the only time He cares about what you and I think is when we either obey Him or disobey Him. I've never been asked of God. Now, Dale, what do you think? First of all, he already knows it. You don't have to ask. But secondly, so what? He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For God to consult me would prove that He's not God. And we go back to free will one more time. You're talking about the only one who can save is waiting on you and me to make up our minds? To give Him a chance and see whether or not what He's saying is true? That's called tempting. And I don't let God do anything. Did I let Him send the rain? Did I let Him establish the drought? He doesn't counsel with anyone. Except the triunity of His own person. And they're in total agreement. So how much time do they spend in consultation? What fools we are, right? If God's like me, what else can He do? But be as frustrated with all this stuff as I am. But this morning, and last week, and in between the time of last week and this morning, I've had an occasion to be taught afresh in the ways of God. And I'm thinking now that a lot of our frustration with our government, with our country, and with our culture is uncalled for. We ought to hate it and disagree with it and be frustrated by it, worried over it. We have read the book, haven't we? The whore is destroyed. The prophet is cast into hell. The beast is cast into hell. Hell and death and the devil are cast into hell. All gone. And it's so sure that it's not like it's already happened. When God decreed it, you might as well say the deal has been done. It's just a matter of the course being followed. Well, what I'd like for us to do, according to God's kindness, is just simply pray about the things we've heard preached, especially the last two Lord's Day. Ezekiel 36, what was it, Jeremiah 7? I think it's Jeremiah 7. 24. Is it 24? 25. Man, maybe I was reading Jeremiah 7 this week. Out of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and then the Word this morning out of 1 Corinthians 10 and Psalm 78 especially. Isn't that something how those parallels are just so vivid? And I can think about those Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and the high priest, and all those guys looking at Jesus and condemning Him. And yet they knew those scriptures. Probably better than any doctor. And counting on them. But when God showed up, they didn't recognize Him. Well, that is a good picture of men being left to themselves. Who were more concerned about the praise of men than they were the praise of God. That's right. What they did, they just made themselves first in line for eternal damnation. That's what they did. But the point is, if these things have caused us to tremble, there's only one response. That's to cry. That God would give us hearts and minds that are in complete agreement with thus saith the Lord. That our love for Him would grow. That our hatred of sin would grow. and that we would be glad to wait on Him. Now we can call out to Him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Who are the people here He's talking to? Is He talking to Barack Obama? Is He talking to the Speaker of the House, the U.S. Congress? Is He talking to the leader in the Senate? Is He talking to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Who's He talking to? He didn't even say to Solomon, if you'll do it, being the king of my people, being authorized by me, having my spirit to coronate your call into the kingship. He didn't even say that. He said, if my people. And then who are the ones He listens to? Those who are poor and of a contrite spirit. And who tremble at His word. Ain't no need to cry out to God if you're not trembling. With fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. For it is God who is at work in you, both the will and the do of His good spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is what? Is the kingdom of heaven. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Casting all your cares upon Him, humble yourself, because He cares for you. Well, we got a lot to pray for. Just think about what you heard this morning. Think about what was laid on our hearts, set before our minds, and may God see fit to hear. Let me begin, and you men lead us as we pray that God might be feared in this country and that His ways would become our ways. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank You for the day. We thank You for the things we've heard in this very room over the last 2 weeks. We thank You, God, too, for the things we've heard on a daily basis and what we've read in the Bibles for ourselves. We thank You that You've given us Your Word, that You've magnified that Word above Your name, and that You will not fail to keep Your Word. We believe, Lord, even these things that we've experienced that are so full of power, that have caused us to tremble at the very roots of our soul, that they've been given to us by You, and we praise You for that. We thank You. We thank You that You do not leave us alone to ourselves, nor do You let us go a-whoring after this world. Even though from time to time we find ourselves in the midst of weakness and severe temptation, You have not turned us loose, or we would not even be here today. We thank You for keeping mercy indeed. Now we pray, Lord, that You look down upon us, and what we lack You'd fulfill in Christ. And what we have already received, You would grow it to greater heights of our sanctification, and that we might become even a more a clear light under Your praise. Father, we do ask You now that You would bless the virtues that Your Spirit has brought to us, especially those of a broken and contrite heart, that which You will not despise. And we pray, Father, as a people and as persons, that You would make us clean again, that You would cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness, that You would give us hearts that are pure, minds that are set only upon You, and words that come because of Your sweetness to our souls. We pray, Father, that You would forgive us of our sins. We pray that You'd forgive our country, too. And we ask, Lord, that in the gospel we might see that power of God unto salvation demonstrated and administered to the souls of those who are wickedly undone, who are without You and without hope in this world. We think of our families. Children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters. We think of friends and co-workers. We think of those that we rub shoulders with on a daily basis who don't even know You exist. We pray, God, that You would open their eyes. And Father, we are in bad straits. There is a famine for Your word in our land. We ask you, O God, please, so deal with men's hearts that when they hear your word proclaimed, or someone shares a word with them, that word would find fertile ground in their hearts unto salvation. And we do pray for our country, Lord. If there is yet life remaining, we beg you, Father, change us. And we pray, God, against all those who stand opposed to you, those who would destroy our country politically, and those who would destroy our country culturally and socially, those who would replace the God-given institutions of marriage and life for the spurn of hell that is going on in this present moment. We pray that you would close their mouths and you'd put them in the grave. We pray, Father, that you would crush their little ones against the stones. We pray, Father, that they would be taken off the scene. And we ask you, Father, please, in light of all that, exalt yourself. We hear these phrases like, oh my God, and Jesus' name taken in vain, and all these things. And Father, we would pray for those who don't know any better. But there are some who do. There's some who know you exist, but they deny you only because they don't want you to exist. Not because they don't know you exist, but because they don't want you to. We pray, Father, that you'd change them and minister to them. We think of the apostle who was Saul of Tarsus at the time. You stopped him in his tracks and you made him to be the best of all of your people. We pray, Father, that you do that with this blaspheming world in which we live now, and that you would honor yourself. We wait on you. We depend upon you. And Lord, at times we tremble so in the midst of our hearts. We beg you, Father, do what only you can do. And thank you for giving us your word these days. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.